It's time for The Outspoken Cyclist, your weekly conversation about bicycles, cyclists, trails, travel, advocacy, the bike industry, and much, much more. You can subscribe to our weekly podcast at OutspokenCyclist.com or through your favorite podcatching app to listen anytime. Now here's your host, Diane Jenks.
Hello and welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. I'm your host, Diane Jenks. Thanks for joining me today. This is sort of a special episode because beginning June 17th, which is a couple of days from right now, PL and Kristen Meindertsma will begin the first of 5 yearly journeys to raise a cumulative $2.5 million for 5 different charities over 5 different continents. PL and Kristen met at an Ironman competition in 2000, married, and have been working and raising their 2 children. But then the call of the needs of people around the globe, coupled with that desire to get back on the bike, was the genesis of what has become a most unusual philanthropic event. So this conversation is sort of their send-off, and I hope you will follow along. We will give you all that information at the end of our conversation. Hello, Kristen and PL. Welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. You guys are going to do something I haven't heard of anyone doing right now. I would call it monumental. 5 years, 5 rides, 5 continents, bike packing. So all of those things sound really exciting. I'm not sure about putting them together. I have a lot of questions. Tell us about yourselves, your backgrounds, how you met, and what led up to this monumental idea.
So both of us are former triathletes. So we met racing triathlons in the summertime. We were introduced by a mutual friend. We connected right away. We have a lot in common. We're both teachers at the time, both played volleyball in university, and we're doing triathlons. And so we started dating long distance for a couple years and then got married. And we just celebrated. We'll celebrate our 23rd wedding anniversary this summer. Yeah. So
that's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Very, very cool.
Yeah. So that's sort of how that happened. So we met on a bike. So cycling for us has become sort of our, as we've aged, you know, the running, the swimming, we had our families, we have 2 kids. And so then the biking has been the one thing that has come back into our lives after a pretty good break. I would say 15 years for me, probably both of us. We were off the bike pretty much for 15 years, just raising our kids and then started riding again. And then that's sort of what we do now. And then you should probably share about how this sort of happened.
Let me ask one more question before PL gets on the mic here. What did you teach?
So I still teach. I teach exclusively girls PE.
Okay. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. I've been teaching for over 30 years. And so I've taught French and science and PE. And then in this current position was when I met PL, I transferred to this school district. So I've been with this school for 23 years. And at the high school level, we split the PE to girls and boys, and it's been amazing. It's my passion. So I have a dream job. It's fantastic.
And where are you guys living? I know it's on the West Coast somewhere.
We live in Abbotsford, British Columbia, which is about an hour and a half east of Vancouver.
Nice, nice. All right, PL, you're up. What's your story?
Well, it's not as exciting as my wife's, but... I mean, the one thing that she left out that was, I think, a pretty interesting landmark is that when we got married in 2000, our honeymoon, we did the Penticton Ironman, so an Ironman here locally in Canada. At the time, it was the only Ironman in Canada, so that was kind of funny. So we got labeled by the media as the Ironman honeymoon couple. So that was kind of funny. So to this day,
he's romantic.
Yeah, clearly. I've got one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Hence, we're on a bike for, you know, anniversary stuff.
Yeah, we ride a tandem. Exactly.
There you go.
Right, exactly. That's how we sort of fell in love on the tandem. That's cool. So what do you teach? Are you still teaching, PL?
No, I've gone through a couple of career changes. I never taught in mainstream. I worked with at-risk adolescents, and then I worked with kids with autism and all sorts of other disabilities, and then went on to get my master's, thinking I was going to kind of get into administration rather than leadership, and then I pivoted and got into business. And so today I own a business with a couple other partners, and yeah, just kind of rolling the way here. So things are good for us. And kind of going back to your original story about where this whole cycle five to survive came from is when you're kind of an entrepreneur and you grow your business, things get busy and things get stressful. And I got to a point where kind of wondering, like, there's got to be more to life than what I'm doing. I think I have more to offer. I'm pretty driven. I'm pretty motivated. And this last year, my wife turned 55 and I turned 50. I think we say our ages, right?
Well, you guys, and everybody knows there is, I get to see you and they don't, but I can tell you when you see pictures of them, they do not look like they're in their 50s. Then we all know that's what cycling does, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I kind of started dreaming up the idea of using the number five of our ages to come up with something. And I had done a few long bike packing trips before. And when I did them, I used that as a way to raise money for a particular charity, a local charity here in Canada called Terry Fox. And Terry Fox's brother, Daryl, lives close by, and we cycle with him. And so I did this 1,000-kilometer solo trip across BC to raise money for the Terry Fox Foundation. And I just found totally at peace with myself. And I thought it was just something I wanted to do more of, but bigger. So fast forward several years to last year, and you know, maybe five bike rides with the five, and maybe five continents and 5 years. And then I thought, oh, maybe five charities. And then we added a monetary amount. So maybe $500,000 per charity. So fast forward about 8 months, the cycle five was turned into five bike rides, five continents, 5 years, five charities to raise $2.5 million. And we're about halfway towards our fundraising target of $2.5 million to date. So it's been an absolute whirlwind. I tell people it's almost like a part-time job for me with the fundraising and the training and my business and the family stuff. So here we are, basically. We're about to depart here in 2 weeks to start our first bike ride on the first continent.
So let me take a moment to reintroduce you, and that's what we're going to talk about, how the ride is going to unfold over the next 5 years. We're speaking with Kristen and PL, now let me get this right, Mindertsma.
Nice job.
Thank you so much.
Freshen
it. It's an unusual name. Tell me what the origin is. Where are you from, or where is your family from?
Yeah, no, I was born and raised in the Netherlands, and the last name that ends in an MA or an SMA is from a particular region in the Netherlands called Friesland. So I was born in the northwestern province of the Netherlands, and we immigrated to Canada in the early 80s, and we left Holland with absolutely nothing. Like, my family, we started over. It's a bit of a, I don't know how you,
what rags you say, to riches.
Rags to riches story, where, you know, we came here with a container of furniture with, you know, a couple $1,000 in our pockets. And I picked pop cans out of ditches for my allowance and cleaned toilets with my mom, and, you know, and kind of worked our way out of that. And here we are riding five continents.
You know what? I love these stories. They're amazing. And I just think that, you know, the fact that you're doing this and giving back, it's not like you're going to keep all this $2.5 million. So explain how, I know you're going to start this first leg of this ride in 2 weeks, in June. We're in June right now. Well, tomorrow morning, it'll be June, yeah, tonight. So what is the first leg of the ride? How long will it be? And how will the rest of the ride unfold? I know that's a lot, but let's start with this coming ride in June.
Yeah, so the first one is the Great Divide. It's starts in Banff, Alberta, and it's all off-road, mostly off-road. I guess 90% is off-road, all the way to the Mexico border, to Antelope, New Mexico. So it's a 4,300-kilometer trek. We're leaving on the 17th. We have a conservative plan to do about 100 kilometers a day because we're, you know, hauling our bikes with all the packs on it. So with the bike packing, self-supported. And so, yeah, we're giving ourselves about 45 days to do that. We've got the idea once a week, we'll pilot into a town because the media part of it is pretty important. So we have a, you know, we've got the footage, we've got to send stuff back to our team here to post on, to keep everybody updated. So that's a pretty conservative, I would say. We're hoping to do it. I'm hoping to do it faster than that because our daughter's birthday is August 8th. So I said, we need to be back in time for her birthday. She's turning 19. It's important. Yeah. So that's barring, you know, no hiccups and stuff. That takes us through this one. And then the other four, ironically enough, with the charities, they all have organizations in each of the continents. So the next one most likely will be in Europe. And then that'll be next year. And so we don't have all of that kind of fine tuned because it depends on weather, seasons that we could go. But most likely the next one will be in Europe. So
what kind of bikes are you riding?
Salsa cutthroats.
Nice. Nice.
Which are actually designed for that route. So it has the route map on the down fork on the bottom. It actually shows the points of interest. So we didn't when we bought those bikes, this was not in the plans.
That's very salsa though.
Very salsa.
And what kind of packs are you using?
So we've been able to secure some sponsors. Which we'd like salsa, so you can plug them. We were sort of late in the game. We didn't really start till later, but we have Tailfin, which is a newer company. They do a rear bike rack with panniers. And so we'll be using their bags. They're awesome. We've done a trip with just the pack, the seat pack. And it was pretty frustrating for him because he's, you know, it's a big pack and it's moving around. These Tailfins are they're slick. So we'll be using those in the top two bag and then filling that out with just some of our own. I have a Celsa front bag, a Celsa frame bag. He's got some other stuff.
You're not taking a trailer?
No, no. We've got like honey pots, a front bag, some fork bags. And then, but the rear tail fin suspension rack is so slick. And that's going to be great because it's just lightweight. It's not going to move around too much.
So you're going to be washing clothes along the way? Yes.
Yeah.
How about food? Are either of you like, you know, vegetarian, vegan, need to have specific diets, or are you able to like pretty much eat what you kill?
We eat what we kill.
Yeah.
The few times we're both lucky that we have no dietary constraints and we're not picky eaters. So the few times we've done this, for people who are listening who've done long endurance stuff, it's all about how many calories you can get into your system, right? So I'm 6'7", 230 pounds. I'm going to burn 6,000 to 8,000 calories a day just with my size. So
that's a steak.
once my bike is fully packed and loaded, including myself, it's about 300 pounds. So I got to move that for 45 days. So anything I can get my hands on, I'm going to put in my system.
Well, now I understand the discrepancy when I looked at the photo of the two of you.
Yeah.
You know, sitting down, it doesn't look like you're 6'7", and you're probably not that short. You might be, what, 5'8"?
Oh, no. I'm Italian. I'm tall for my family. I'm just under 5'5".
Okay, that's about my height. Wow, 6'7". Wow, that's really tall, dude. What size is that frame?
It's the biggest frame Celsa has. All my bike frames... if I were to make a custom one, it's a 65 centimeter frame. So I don't know what that is in inches, but it's...
No, that's what we measure centimeters. We don't bother with inches in that. Yeah, I understand that, 65.
So most of my bike frames are in that 61 to 65 centimeter, depending on the stack and the reach, and then I fit them out. So all my seats are all the way pushed back, and my stems are all like 120 millimeter stems. So I make them work. The problem with my size is that I break a lot of stuff. So I had to make custom wheels. So I had to make a custom 36 spoke wheel because I blow spokes. I blow bottom brackets. I've blown cog sets. That's the downside. I'm not really a fast rider. I'm just a very big rider.
Strong. He's a very strong rider.
Of course. Yeah. So yeah, when we build, that's what we do. We build custom bikes and custom wheels. So I get it. you know, it's a challenge, but production wise, it's almost impossible. I'm really amazed that you're going to make this work, but I'm glad you are.
Nothing is cheap, put it that way.
No, it is not. And it has only gotten much worse since the pandemic. So let's talk a little bit about your charities. What charities have you chosen? Because there's something interesting about them. They are all collaborating in this venture. It's not like you're going to take $2.5 million and, you know, you're going to divvy it up at some point. How are they collaborating and what are the charities?
The original vision that I had was pick a charity, go to where they have a need, like actually visit the location, come back and raise the money. As I started sharing that with people, they're like, so your first charity is Opportunity International. So I'll say that one. What are the other four? And I'm like, oh, shoot. So maybe we need to actually think about what they all are.
Right.
We had been supporting two other charities at the time. One's called Hope for Cora and the other one's called LCC. It's a university in Lithuania. So we had three right off the bat. And then just through connections of people that I know, they're on different boards of different charities and different donors to see who is supporting what. I wouldn't say we interviewed, but we did try and figure out who fits with all the charities. And when I started this, I kind of set it up like a business plan.
That's so, there, the logo came right away.
So one of my businesses was marketing. So I started the whole idea with a logo. And I first thing I did was I completely custom painted my bike before this whole thing started. So I knew I was all in, that there was no turning back. And then as the charities got together, I'm like, okay, I need some help here to figure out how am I going to raise all this money for five charities at a time. We had a Zoom call with founders of all the charities. And the one of them said, who was Opportunity International, who was first, said, why don't we do this all together? Because my struggle was, if I do this every year for 5 years, I don't know if I can sustain the energy and the emotions of constant fundraising and creating awareness and planning the trips and the logistics. Like it's an enormous undertaking. It was fun when I thought of it, but now that I'm in it, if I didn't have a deep personal purpose for why I'm doing this, I probably would have said, no, you know what? I'm just going to do the ride and scrap the other stuff. Mm-hmm. The charities all like the idea. We have a lady who specializes in philanthropy, and she said she's never seen an independent couple bring five charities together. And all charities have waived all of their administrative fees, so all the money that we raise goes directly to the cause that they've chosen. And then, of course, one charity started talking to me about, well, I like what the other charities do. So I went, well, let's have a strategic planning day. That's what I do in my business. So we had a fundraising event, and the next day we actually had all five charities in a room. I hired a facilitator, and we came up with this slogan, wouldn't it be great if, and we had three dots, and the goal is over the next 5 years to figure out with all five charities how to end that sentence and to see how five charity, the multiplier of five charities can be greater than just one charity on its own. So I have no idea where this is going to go. It's a bit of a pipe dream, but we'll see.
Wow, it sounds really innovative. It's so different from the way we look at fundraising. Fundraising is hard with bicycles. You know, it's okay, go get your pledges or, you know, pay this much. But this is really much more, I don't know if the word is egalitarian or encompassing or whatever. It just sounds so much better. Let me reintroduce you one more time, and then we'll wrap up with some of the other questions that I had for you, although I keep coming up with more. We're speaking with Kristen and P.L. Meindertsma. and they are doing Cycle 5 to Survive. The first leg of this begins this month in June. And so even though it isn't all fleshed out yet, are you expecting that each leg of this will take about 45 days? Is that what you're hoping? Because you're going to want to come back and either celebrate your daughter's birthdays or you're going to want to get back to teaching, I would imagine.
Yeah. So some of them won't actually happen in the summer just because of seasons of travel once we get below, right? So I've been fortunate enough, I've actually been half-time since I had my daughter. So since 2004. And I job share with one of my really good friends. So that's been great. And, you know, I've been teaching so long and they're so supportive that they've been very flexible. They know that this is happening. And I can afford to take some time off during the year if needed and get coverage. So I've been so thankful for that. But yeah, I think it really just depends. It's looking like a lot of the routes will be some sort of divide. So there's the European divide. Well, that one is 7,000 kilometers. So yeah. Would we do the whole thing or would we do parts of it? Just not 100% sure. So again, depending on how that works, like one of the charities, two of the other charities he didn't mention, one's Himalayan Life, which is in Nepal. And the founder he rides quite a bit. So he's got some rides that happen around there. And then the third one is IDE, which would be in South America. So then there's a few different routes you can do there. So I would say the minimum would probably be 30 to 45 days, but the maximum, like if we get super keen, maybe we'll do the full European divide. Who knows?
Right. It
really depends. And then there's the Silk Route. So there's all these ones that are, you know, once we started this, like it's incredible. The bike packing that's out there, it's just been eye-opening for us too, to see what the possibilities are. So most of them will be done in the summer, but some of them will have to be done at a different time of the year.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting how bike packing has sort of taken on a new mantle. It was, you know, we used to maybe go to adventure cycling and get their maps and do something in the States. Or yeah. You might join a ride like a back roads tour or something. But now we're seeing a lot more independent bike packing stuff. Yeah. I imagine that your bikes have wide tires, like 35, 45 millimeter. Yeah, big. Yeah, disc brakes, yeah. The whole thing. Yeah.
They're like mountain bike tires. They're 2.2 inch wide tires.
So that's what, 54 millimeter maybe? Yeah. Okay.
Like 55s?
Yeah, 55s. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Nice.
And my handlebars, believe it or not, my handlebars are drop bars, but okay. they're 55 centimeters wide.
Do they flare out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're massive. It's a massive bike. When you see it, it's like huge.
It's up to here on me.
Yeah.
It's so funny when I stand beside his seats. Everybody looks at me and they're like, yeah, it's like sits up to here. That's why I measure his pants when I buy him pants. If they're from here and they touch the ground, I mean, they work.
Okay, you got to know. Well, okay, we'll let you imagine where she was pointing and where those
clavicle,
clavicle. Yes, we'll go with clavicle. That's good. I like that. That's a good spot. This is such an interesting conversation and such an interesting. Are there any downsides? Do you see anything that could interfere with this? I mean, have you come up with contingencies?
My wife can share.
Yeah, we. So
besides a pandemic,
Yeah, we definitely have a plan, like contingencies for sure. And one of the coolest things that happened is when we started this whole thing. Well, when PL started, he was able to we connected with some people and we actually have a project manager. It's a
project management firm that puts out applications to volunteers.
Yeah.
So this girl, her name is Sarah. She's a graduate from the University of British Columbia with a bachelor's degree in commerce, works in the healthcare business and has her project management certification and wanted some volunteer practice. So she's been volunteering her time and we have 1 hour meetings we started every second week just because, yeah, probably this whole thing started 8-9 months ago. Like the website's only been up since September, October, completely rewrote it once the five charities were together. So she's been along the way.
Yeah. Amazing. So she's been integral. Like, so every week, you know, we're on a Zoom call with her or every 2 weeks and she's got her agenda. She's boxes checked. And so we've been talking about contingency since the beginning. And this started out of for his deeper purpose. And really, it's a faith journey. To be clear, faith's a big part of our lives. And it's a matter of connecting his head to his heart. I'm very heart driven. So my faith is very much in my heart. And his is more in his head. So it is trying to connect the two. This is his ride. And I'm the support. I can ride. So it's like, sure, let's do it. And so if, for example, I've been struggling with back issues over the last couple of years, and maybe as a former triathlete that started it, contributed it, I have some issues with my spine. So we were always very aware that physically, would my back handle 45 days? So the first plan B is if something happens to my back, then I'll get a ride up ahead. I'll take a day off and he continues to ride alone. If something happens to him, we take a day, like I'm not riding by myself. One, I don't like that. I am not a solo bike packer. And two, it's his journey. So it's really about him. And the charities tend to have become the beneficiaries of him doing this. So that's sort of how it started. Full transparency, this last 2 to 3 months has been up and down. I've had some really great sessions. And then my back has really just said, you're not moving today. So I've been trying some new treatments, been doing prolotherapy. I don't know if you know what that is. Injections, which are sugar injections into joints. So doing that, and had my last one about 2-3 weeks ago. And I was just, this is going to be awesome. And then last week I had a just
right relapse.
Yeah, really big, like the worst I think I've ever had. So I was a little skeptical last week, wasn't sure what was happening. And then this week has been really good. I've had a few more treatments. So I've got a doctor's appointment, like just looking for sort of pain medication, more treatments to get there. And so PL is a little more worried than me. I'm like, it's going to be fine. Like it's a God thing. There is no way that we could have predicted him, you know, wanting to go on a ride to these 5 charities to raising over $1 million already. Like that is not us. Like this is so much bigger than us. The people that have come into our circle, that everything is 100%, like credit card fees have been covered. Like every penny goes to these charities. So I just keep going, it's going to be fine. Like I don't even worry about it. So he wants more of a plan B. So I said, I'm not ready yet. I'll talk about it this weekend, how my back is doing on then. And then we'll talk about, can I even start it? Or am I in a truck leaving from Banff? So that's the worst case scenario. And I know he wants more details. So he's just, it's, you know, but for me, I'm like, it's going to be fine. That's how we're different. I'm sure you can understand. You're married to an engineer.
Well, and I understand anyway that this ride is already happening.
Totally.
Whether you're on the bike or not today, the ride is already happening. It's already so well planned out and it's already got so many pieces in place.
Yeah.
That, you know, you'll be able to figure out any contingency issues. Last thing I want is for you to tell listeners how they can follow you, support you, and anything else you want them to know.
There's always two components. The one part of the story is the sharing of my personal journey. And so I'm trying to do weekly, bi-weekly video journaling that I'm doing. And a lot of people that are supporting us originally started supporting us because they want to see us succeed. And they want to see how this unfolds for me personally because of the relationships I have. The other side of the people that are supporting us just really like the charities and the causes that these charities are supporting. If people go to the website, mm-hmm. cycle5tosurvive.com, they'll get the whole story. They'll get the story of how this started with Kristen and I. They'll get the story of the charities. And if something moves a listener to say, hey, I want to be part of this guy's crazy personal journey to figure out, you know, how does he make a deeper connection? Or I really liked what these people are doing for these charities and we like what these charities stand for. Now, just a little thing that all of the charities are either focused on business, sports, or education. Mm-hmm. And that was a purpose statement we created because we met through sports. I'm in business, she's in education. So we're not curing cancer, we're not digging wells. It's really specific mm-hmm. to those three elements. So if that resonates with listeners and they feel that business, sports, and education can make changes in the world, then I think I'm biased, but I always tell people, if I was on the other side, I don't know why I wouldn't want to follow us.
Right, exactly. Exactly. If I'm a cyclist and I'm interested in this kind of stuff, why not? Well, I'm really happy to have met you and to speak with you. We will post all of this on our site. We will tell people how to follow you and we'll get this out on social media. What is your actual launch date? What day are you leaving? allegedly?
Yeah. June 17th.
Okay. Oh, right. I think I have that. Okay. June 17th.
And I would say too, the best thing that people can do is follow us on our Instagram page, because in the world that we are in today, followers matter. So, and share. So Cycle 5-2 Survive is our Instagram. We do have a Facebook group page, but it's, you know, it's tricky to get everything always linked up, but our website will have, everything will be linked up. They should be able to follow us on the route. We're hoping to have our dot, like the route that they can follow.
A tracker.
Tracker. And prayer. We'll take prayer.
Okay.
Always.
And on that note, thank you so much. We've been speaking with Kristen and PL Meindertsma, and they are launching June 17th. We will be following them on Cycle 5 to Survive. Thank you so much for doing this, for talking with me, and I wish you lots of safe, happy miles.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to PL and Kristen for sharing their amazing vision with us. We wish them a lot of luck as they begin their journey on June 17th. You can follow them at cycle5tosurvive.com. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, too. Thank you so much for listening. Next time on The Outspoken Cyclist, I'm going to be speaking with Jenny Graham. In 2018, Jenny set out to break the Guinness Round the World record on her custom-built Shand bicycle. And break the record she did. Well, actually, she smashed the record. And a couple of days ago, June 13th to be exact, Jenny's book, Coffee First, Then the World, was published here in the States. Join me on the next show to hear all about it. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app so you don't miss an episode, like this one. Check out our website, OutspokenCyclist.com, for photos, links, and show notes. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I hope you're having a great riding season. Please stay safe, stay well, and remember, there is always time for a ride. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on The Outspoken Cyclist with Diane Jenks. We welcome your thoughts and contributions on our Facebook page, or visit OutspokenCyclist.com to leave a comment on any episode. We will be back next week with new guests, topics, conversations, and news from the world of cycling. Subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app and you'll never miss an episode. The Outspoken Cyclist is a copyrighted production of DBL Promotions with the assistance of WJCU-FM Cleveland, a service of John Carroll University. Thanks again for listening, ride safely, and we'll see you next week.